And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. My producer, engineer Jerry Barrett, says this is the fastest hour on radio. And I know that it is. And we've got so many things to present to today. I'm going to get right at it. This is another volume of secrets, and this is volume 163. 163 glorious times I've come on air over the years to let you know the secrets and to report the facts and the news that the control media dare not touch. You know, I recently read, in fact, today, that the Huffington Post, it's owned by a millionaireess from California who speaks with a foreign accent. We have so many of those people today in America. Oh, Arianna Huffington. She's always on TV as one of the talking heads on MSNBC and Fox News and so forth. Barely understand the lady because of her foreign accent. She was married to a man, Huffington, very, very wealthy millionaire, who ran for one of the top political posts in the state of California and barely lost after spending millions of dollars on his campaign. And Arianna was right by his side, Arianna Huffington of the Huffington Post. But shortly after the campaign was over and he lost to the Democrat, which, by the way, I was not surprised because Mr. Huffington was probably more liberal and more socialist than the Democrat Party candidate, proving the dictum, of course, not a dime's worth of difference. But in any case, shortly after the campaign, it seems as though the stress of the campaign, the trauma that the wife and husband go through came to bear. And the two, Arianna and her husband, divorced. Now, that would be a sad thing, and I think any divorce is sad. But as it turns out, Mr. Huffington was as gay as a $3 bill. And Arianna, what can I say about her? Well, I'll be polite, not say much about that matter. But you can use your, let's just say, think Hillary Clinton and think Arianna, and then you've got the picture. Now, there are some secrets people just understand when you get a little connection, connect the dots, isn't there? Well, in any case, Arianna, with all her money from her divorce settlement, set up this I think she's originally from Greece. She's a Greek-American or Greek something or other. But she set up this Huffington Post. And it's about as liberal as George Soros, the Hungarian Jewish billionaire's internet website, MoveOn.org or Salon.com, another Democrat Party gathering hole on the internet. But it seems that Jesse Ventura has a new book out called American Conspiracies, sort of an offshoot from his radio program. Now, I think it's just, you know, a bunch of old junky stuff that a ghostwriter wrote for him. But nevertheless, I give old Jesse Ventura some credit for having the guts to put it out there. And he wrote a column talking about his book and about the conspiracies that are going on in America. For example, 9/11 being an inside job. And somebody posted it on the HuffingtonPost.com website. But it only lasted about 20 hours because Arianna Huffington in a big huff took it down. With the comment that Huffington Post just does not believe in conspiracy theories, and they're not going to publish anything, even if it's by a former Minnesota governor, Jesse Ventura, if it has something to do with conspiracies. Well, if I were a violent man, I'd probably say that somebody needs to take a copy of my Conspiracy World, which is a big, big book. It's my newest book. It's huge, about the size of a telephone book, weighs more, though, probably weighs 20 pounds. Take it and whack old Arietta Huffington beside the head with it. Make her a lot smarter. But on the other hand, I'm just, you know, I'm just saying that. I'm tongue in cheek. I didn't mean it. I'm not calling for anybody to do that. My dad was quite a character, being a Texan and an Arkansas man. Originally came from Arkansas, moved to Texas. He used to say when he saw somebody that was just mean or bad or a liar or deceiver, my dad would say, oh, yes, in his old backwoods drawl, he would say, you know, son, to me, I'd like to just take a wet squirrel and whack them beside the head. Now, my dad never did take a wet squirrel and whack anybody beside the head. Very colorful. I sort of liked him. Every time he said it, I got a chuckle out of it. But actually, my dad was the kind of guy that would avoid harming anything. And certainly, you know, I think he loved the wet squirrels more than he loved the people. So he loved nature and wildlife and such. And I never saw the man shoot anything or at anybody. We kept a gun in the house, but it was simply for self-protection. And it was never fired in anger. Never fired hunting or anything else. My dad wasn't a hunter. I don't think he had the heart to harm anybody or anything. And, you know, my dad had to tell me was that he was disappointed in me or something. And that was enough. That was enough punishment. Keep me straight. He never raised his voice at me. He died at age 73, and he never once raised his voice at me. But, you know, strangely enough, I did what he told me to do. Not like an automaton or a robot, but simply because I respected the man. You know, the Bible says, provoke not your children to anger, fathers. Isn't that an interesting statement? My God, don't provoke your children to anger. But at the same time, God's word says to children, obey your mom and dad. Obey your parents. Respect the elderly, that your days may be long. You want to live a short life, a brutish life, young person? Then you just be cruel and mean to old people. You'll get your comeuppance. You'll get your just desserts. And they won't have to do a thing about it. God will take care of that. But at the same time, parents, listen to me. Don't mistreat your kids. Don't abuse them. Don't do them wrong. When they do good, compliment them, praise them. When they do wrong, well, let them know. But do it in a kind and loving way. Sometimes it may take a little tough love and discipline. I'm all for discipline, but I'm also for love. That's the way God does it. He chastens those whom he loves. But I'm not harmed by God's chastening. I'm helped by it. It helps me to see the light of day, to see the way forward, to be a happier person. Because that's what God really intends. He has provided a way, a path, a destiny for you and me. Did you know that Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that God has already arranged the path that we are to follow in advance? Man. Every day I get up, people say, Tex, how can you meet the day? You know you're going to have criticism. You're going to have people angry at you. You're going to be exposing the evildoers and the wicked things of this world. How can you even get up out of bed? I tell you why, because God's already got my path laid out for me. And I happily skip down the road smiling all the way every day. That's the way to live a happy and contented life. Live in God's will. That's the secret of happiness, friends. See there, I've already told you that. And that's it. I'd love to write an entire book about it, but I can say the same thing on every page. Get in God's will, follow him, what he wants you to do, and you will end up, in fact, not just end up, you will be happy every day of your life. Say, well, now, bad things sometimes come good people's way. That's true. All for your instruction. People say, well, are you thankful when bad things happen? Yes, I am. Several years back, the IRS came to audit us, spent 4 years auditing us. People say, oh, I bet you just moaned and whined and cried every day. No, I did not. And we came out smelling like a rose. We did just fine. They tried everything they could to destroy us. And we just kept right on going. We should have won an Olympic award for persistence, for ruggedness, and just saying, do your best, IRS, because we're still going to be here tomorrow. You may not, but we will be. Now, I want to talk to you about some secrets. And first of all, you know, things are getting wacky. Things are getting lunatic. Things are getting crazy in the world, aren't they? If you think things are normal, then I think you need to go have yourself committed. But if you are like me, you say things are just getting wacky. They're getting nutty. They're getting crazier every day. I love to read the book 1984 by George Orwell. I like the way it starts. You know whether a book's going to be good or not by just the way it starts. You ever thought of that? I could read the first page and I say, this book's a crummy book, or this book's a good book. And 99% of the time I'm correct. I am. Here's what chapter one says of George Orwell's thrilling, thoughtful book about Big Brother, entitled 1984. It reads this way. It says, it was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. Well, right away, you know you're down the rabbit hole with Alice in Wonderland. The clocks were striking 13. It goes on right on the first page to say, as Winston Smith, the antagonist, or sort of the, I don't know if you call him the hero or whatever, the main character in the book. So he's walking up his apartment tenement up the stairs because the elevator is broken. And his apartment was 7 flights up. It's pretty tough on a guy like him. He had varicose veins and he had to rest and stop along the way several times. But on each landing, it says, opposite the lift shaft, the elevator shaft, which didn't work, the poster with the enormous face gazed from the wall. It was one of those pictures which are so contrived that the eyes follow you about when you move. Big Brother is watching you, the caption beneath it ran. That's all on the first page of 1984. Well, I'm going to talk to you, and everything I'm going to tell you about today is sort of the first page of what I like to believe is the end of the world. That's what we're into today, the end of the world. I don't know how long God is going to elongate it. That means sort of delay its coming. And he does so because of his mercifulness. He's giving more time for men and women to repent, to come into the kingdom of God. Did you know that there's a certain time in the history of the world when all of those who were humiliated, tortured, tormented, murdered by the elite, the rich, the powerful of this world, we call them today the Illuminati or the New World Order, but they've really existed in demonic form in human flesh throughout history. But there comes a time, it says in the book of Revelation, when all those who are martyrs, whose blood was shed for the cause of the truth, stand or kneel before the throne of Almighty God. And they cry out to the one who is on the throne, Lord or Master, when will you avenge our blood? And their numbers are huge, the throng beneath the throne of God. Imagine a throng of human souls before the throne of God crying out, Lord, when will you avenge our blood? What a sight that would be. That sends chills down my spine just thinking about it. And then comes the voice of Almighty God from the throne, and he says, wait a little while longer, my children. Have patience. In due time, God says, the harvest will come and you will have vengeance. Because you see, elsewhere in the Bible it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God tells those who were murdered, tortured for their testimony, he says, wait a little while longer, because there are more to come. There's more blood. There's more torment caused by the evildoers. Be patient. God has a time and a destiny for all things. And the time, the clock may be striking 13 when God comes. It's not our time. And talk about big brother. Well, he's big father. He's the far the greater. Well, talk to you a little bit about the way the world's shaping up here in these last days. It seems that former CNN Cable News Network anchor Lou Dobbs turns out to be another snake in the grass. I always sort of like Lou Dobbs. You know, the last couple of years that he was on CNN, before they let him go this year, he really came to the fore and claimed he was for the Constitution, and almost every show he had attacked the illegal immigrant status in America and say, we need to enforce our borders. We need to enforce the laws. We need to do something about these millions and millions of illegal immigrants. I remember he had Bear Stearns, one of the largest New York investment firms, come on. They'd just done a study, nationwide study, and they were his guests on the Lou Dobbs show on CNN. And the spokesman for Bear Stearns, the huge Wall Street firm, said, our study shows the government is not telling the truth. There are not just 12 million illegal aliens in America. There are up to 35 million. Well, I appreciated Lou Dobbs bringing that out. But remember something, friends. Remember, the Illuminati, the conspirators, always have both sides covered. And they'll put somebody out there who sounds good at first, like a Lou Dobbs, and everybody, or a Glenn Beck, or a Bill O'Reilly, or Rush Limbaugh, and everyone will gravitate to that person. Everyone who says, we need a hero. We need a leader for our side. We need someone to tell the truth. We're angry. We're fed up. We're like Tea Party people. We want something to happen. Give us a man to lead us. They'll send you somebody. It could be a Barack Obama who says, change, yes we can. Or it'll be a Glenn Beck who says, oh, I don't even have to give you the words on that one. You know what they are. Or Bill O'Reilly from Fox News who says, we're looking out for you. Oh, yeah. I think he's talking to Lord Rothschild when he says that. But he acts like it's for the little people. That he does his act and performance. Then Rush Limbaugh, who just, I have to say, I congratulate because he admits, I'm nothing but an entertainer. He said it many times. I'm an entertainer. Which is sort of like saying, I'm like the jumping frogs and poodles at the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, but that's, well, anyway, he's an entertainer. Lou Dobbs is just simply an entertainer. You know, when he left CNN, they paid him his full contract. It was like $3.9 million. And they parted ways. Everybody said, oh, they fired him at CNN because he was exposing illegal aliens and all of that. Oh, what a wonderful man Lou Dobbs is. See, that way he gets his big audience. And in fact, people began to write to Lou Dobbs, run for president in 2012, Lou. We'll support you. Be another Ross Perot. Now, Lou Dobbs started going on all these networks as a talking head. Suddenly, bing a boom, he changed his story, though. Every day on CNN, the man would come on and say, we've got to enforce our borders. We've got to have better border patrol. We've got to have more troops on the border. We've got to keep out the illegal aliens. We've got to do something about this immigration problem. We're being invaded by illegals. That's what Lou Dobbs said. Got a big audience. And now that he's got this big audience, now the Illuminati elite say, okay, Mr. Dobbs, now take them and herd them in their little cattle stalls. And then take your cattle prod, stick to their ears, and electrocute all of them. That might be you, dear friends. I've got a couple of good pals. One of them puts out one of the top magazines exposing the New World Order. Another one has one of the most popular radio shows in the Patriot movement. And both of them say Lou Dobbs is a hero. He's a real man. Of course, they've been deceived too. Now, you may be saying, how is it that you, Tex Mars, call Lou Dobbs a snake in the grass? Friends, I call anybody who does a flip-flop a snake in the grass, because I know why they're doing their flip-flops. They're paid to herd the little people into the cattle shed, into the stalls, so they can be electrocuted to death, brought into, under, I should say, the umbrella of the New World Order conspiracy. Well, the first thing Lou Dobbs did when he left CNN, he said he's going to set up a national organization. And, of course, he has a huge following, a big mailing list, I'm sure. And he went on one of these Spanish, Hispanic TV networks. I think it was Telemundo. And to everybody's surprise, when asked about the immigration problem, Lou said, well, you know, I've changed my mind on that. I'm not for deporting anybody. I'm for allowing them to stay in the United States. And even, I even want to make them all citizens. He totally flip-flopped. Now he's for giving all of the illegal aliens, all 35 million plus, that was several years ago, now there's probably 45 million, allowing them to stay in America, to continue to get welfare payments, medical care, and all the other goodies, and take jobs from Americans, etc. Deporting them, obeying the laws that exist, forget it, not Lou Dobbs. I'm now for immigration reform, which means amnesty, which means we're letting them all stay here. And, of course, remember Barack Obama went to LULAC. That's one of the biggest Hispanic criminal organizations. That's what I believe it is. Although I guess they're legally engaged in whatever they do. But they promote illegality and criminal behavior by illegal aliens. So they are an illegal criminal outfit, LULAC and La Raza and all the others. But Barack Obama, our president, went and spoke to him and said, under my new Obama medical care plan, illegal aliens will not get free medical care. Ooh, said all the Mexican illegals sitting in the audience. But wait, hold your horses, says Barack Obama. I'm for giving all the illegal aliens in America citizenship. And citizens can get free medical care. You get it? Obama, during his State of the Union address, got up and said, we will not allow illegal aliens to have free medical care under my plan. 2 days later, he goes to a big Hispanic organization full of illegal aliens and says, you're going to get free medical care because we're going to make you all citizens. So, you know, he was telling the truth both times. He's just a deceiver. He flip-flops. But he tells the truth both times. It's sort of like, you know, a woman going up to a man, her lover, and say, I love you so much. And then he turns his head, and she takes out a knife, stabs him in the back. I hate you so much. But that's why I love you, as he's laying there dying, bleeding to death. I loved him so much, I killed him. Reminds me of a reporter in the Vietnam War. American military air power destroyed a whole village, and the army went in and destroyed a whole village. And the reporter was there saying, I talked to an army major who explained what happened in this village here in Vietnam. It seems that the U.S. military had to destroy the village in order to save it. Reminds me a little bit of Waco, too. We're doing it for the kids, said Janet Reno, the attorney general. We love those kids so much, we had to go there and smother them and smoke them and kill them all. We love those kids so much, we did it for the kids. The kids were inside. We had to save them, so we went in there and killed them all. Burn them all alive. Oh, we love children so much, said Janet. Lou Dobbs says, we need to do something about the illegal immigrants. So he says, I think we ought to give them amnesty. Oh, yes. I'm for it. And if you don't believe me, what I'm telling you about him going to Telemundo or whatever the Hispanic group was, well, let's just look at what happened March the 10th, 2010, on Fox News Network. O'Reilly Factor. It seems that Lou Dobbs went on with Bill O'Reilly and was interviewed. I watched it last night. It was last night, March the 10th. I watched it myself. And Lou Dobbs was there, and listen, he was pimping, and that's what I call it. He's a pimp. He was pimping for illegal immigration amnesty. Now, he never used the word amnesty. He's just for Obama's immigration reform, which was also, by the way, George W. Bush's immigration reform. Remember, I told you not a dime's worth of difference. Dobbs says, I don't agree with the left wing or the right wing. I'm for compromise. And what does compromise mean? It means we need to let all the ones that are in America stay here and give them what Obama and George Bush both said is a, quote, pathway to citizenship. I think that means rubber stamp time. Rubber stamp. Rubber stamp. You're a citizen. Did you take your test? Oh, you didn't? Okay, here's the question. Are you in America right now? Si, senor. Okay, that's it. You passed your very difficult citizenship test. Can you speak English? No, senor. Well, that's okay, too. Come right in. By the way, please stop at the first hospital and receive $500,000 in free medical care from President Obama. We love you so much here in America. And be sure to get your Social Security card. We want to make sure you get your entitlement forever, even though you've never paid into it. Woo. Dobbs is now for a compromise. He disagrees. He said on O'Reilly Factor, I disagree with the right wing. Now, he spent years on CNN saying, I agree with the right wing. We've got to do something. Now he says, we got to do something. I disagree with the right wing. They're here, so we got to let them stay here. How about those all the laws we now have on the books? You know, President Eisenhower deported them. He called them wetbacks and deported millions of Mexicans, sent them back to Mexico. Lou Dobbs says, we can't do that. They're here. We got to give them a pathway to citizenship. And there was O'Reilly saying, you're right. Oh, yes. You know, I was surprised the two didn't start French kissing right on scene, right on stage. I was surprised. I was surprised that O'Reilly didn't grab hold of them. They just start French kissing. That's what they do at the Academy Awards. But why don't they just do it on O'Reilly Factor? In fact, you may think I'm kidding you, but I'm not. Did you know that Glenn Beck, on his Glenn Beck show on Fox News, actually said that he would love to French kiss Bilderberger Governor Rick Perry of Texas? He said, here, he said, I'm giving you a French kiss right now, Governor Perry. That was when he said he would never support the Tea Party candidate, Deborah Medina. He supported Rick Perry, the Bilderberger, the guy who's helping to build the North American Union, the Trans-American Corridor through Texas. And Glenn Beck says, here's a French kiss. I'm telling you, friends, he actually said, I am French kissing Rick Perry. Ah, yes. Sort of like that congressman, Massa was his name, groping all of his aides, who was forced to resign his congressional seat. We'll talk about Congressman Massa and O'Reilly and Dobbs and all their pimping and much more when we return. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is Tex Mars reporting on the pimps and the deceivers of both parties and no parties right here on Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? It's a cold day in March, I believe, and the clock is striking 13. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. We're having our Liberty and Truth Conference, our inaugural event, the Liberty and Truth Conference. And we only have a certain number of spots, and we want you to reserve your spot. Now, let me tell you all about it. It's at the airport, Hilton Hotel, right outside the airport in Austin, Texas, April the 10th on a Saturday, 9 to 6 p.m., just one day. Comes complete with catered lunch. We're going to feed you. a really good meal, probably a Tex-Mex, Texas Mexican dinner. You know, the kind Santa Ana bought before he got defeated and sent back, and ate before he got defeated and sent back to Mexico after he lost to Sam Houston. Texas got its independence. Yeah, that's the kind of Mexican dinner we'll feed you. Hey, by the way, did you know that Santa Ana lost the Battle of San Jacinto to General Sam Houston of the Texas Army? An old dictator, Santa Ana, president of Mexico, he left so fast, he left behind his wooden peg leg. A lot of people don't know that. He only had one leg. He got it shot off in a cannon in a battle back in Mexico. During a revolution there, he became a president of Mexico. He was a Freemason. And there was a war between two competing Masons down in Mexico. Well, old Santa Ana came to Texas. And, of course, he killed a lot of Texans, Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, and all of them at the Alamo. And then he met his Waterloo along some very swampy land near Pasadena, Texas, at a site called San Jacinto. Sam Houston and the troops surprised him early in, I think on a Sunday morning. And the Mexicans had been up the night before partying and orgying with the local Mexican girls or whatever they could find. And I think they were drunk and had hangovers, and they heard the Texans coming in shooting all their cannons and their guns. And boy, they all began to ram the Mexican army. Santa Ana jumped atop his horse and left. He jumped out of his tent, grabbed his horse, and he and a couple aides, they whammied on out of there back down to Mexico. But he left behind his peg leg. And it was in a Texas museum until very recently. And Texas, mercifully, as I understand it, returned it to Mexico, where it's now in some kind of a Mexican museum, if it hadn't been eaten up by termites or something like that. Well, in any case, you'll be coming to the great state of Texas. See all the history? Now, we're not going to give you a big history lesson, but you're going to learn a lot because, well, I'll be speaking on chaos in America. My good friends, Michael Collins Piper will be talking. Pat Shannon, boy, he's written a lot about assassinations, cover-ups, what really happened at 9/11, at Waco, Oklahoma City. Pat Shannon will be there, investigative reporter. We're going to present this in cooperation with the American Free Press newspaper. So we're going to do a good job for you. Joyce Riley, nurse, will be there talking about God's medicine. Mark Anderson, investigative reporter. He knows all about Bilderberger Governor Rick Perry. Maybe you can ask him some questions about it while he's on the stage. And by the way, I wanted to let you know that Sheriff Richard Mack, unfortunately, had to cancel. He won't be there. I'm going to miss Sheriff Mack, but Sheriff Mack will not be there. My good friend Galen Ross, author of Who's Who of the Elite, will speak for a little while. I don't know who all is going to be there, but I know Michael Collins Piper will, Pat Shannon, Joyce Riley, Mark Anderson, Galen Ross, and me, Tex Mars. We'll all be there. We're going to have a great time, and we will have a catered lunch, and the price is just $50 a person. And I suggest you come spend the weekend. Sunday, you'll want to go down and visit the state capitol of Texas. It's the tallest in the United States, the biggest state capitol in the United States. And it has a statue of the goddess on top holding the Lone Star in her hands, which is, of course, a Masonic symbol. Sort of interesting. You'll have to come visit the great state. It's built in the form of a Greek-Roman temple, as is the U.S. Capitol. They all are, of course. The Masons built the one in Texas, too. Maybe someday we'll take the Texas Revolution one step further by overthrowing the Masons that run America and Texas. I suspect that Rick Perry's a Mason. He would have to be. Ah, well, we'll get rid of these rascals someday, won't we, folks? We're going to keep working on it. And if not, well, I guess we'll just leave it all to Jesus. He knows how to clean out a bunch of snakes better than we do. Much better. April the 10th. And here's what you do. Phone us toll free. 1-800-234-9673 to make your reservation. 1-800-234-9673. Hey, April the 10th, that's only 5 days before April 15 when you have to turn in your 1040. You'll probably be good and mad at the IRS and the federal government by then, won't you? Well, come help a seller. Get angry and be with us. We'll be angry with you. But again, I'll be smiling because I know we're going to do some good here. We're going to expose these rascals at the Liberty and Truth Conference. We're going to have a good time, good food, good friends. My wife, Wanda, will be there. Jerry Barrett will be there. He's going to be MC. So you can go there and heckle him and throw little, you know, spitballs at him. And no, don't. Jerry's a good guy. No, don't do anything like that. I'm just teasing. Do that at Michael Collins Piper. Yeah, that's it. Oh, Michael, let him say, Tex told me to throw spitballs at you. Wouldn't Michael be surprised? I thought Tex was a good guy. I am, Michael. I only kid. I kid because you got a good sense of humor and you can take these things. Throw them at me. Okay, folks, throw them at me. Throw the brick bats at Tex Morris. I'm used to them. I'm a big old galoot. Nothing stops me. You know, I'm just like, you know, boom, 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 the big giant in that the Lilliputians, you know, they finally tried to, you know, rope and nail down to the ground. What was that? What was the name of that? Tom Thumb or something like that? I know it wasn't Tom Thumb. Yeah, Gulliver's Travels by Swift. Yeah, thank you, Jonathan Swift. A little bit of conspiratorial, you know, code words and code messages in Gulliver's Travel by Jonathan Swift. We'll save that for another time, though. Okay, so the Liberty and Truth Conference, April the 10th. Call us, 1-800-234-9673. $50 a person. If you've got a young person with you, hey, bring that person. It's okay. You know, we'll find a place and, you know, maybe we won't even charge as much for a young person. I don't know. You know what I mean? 14 or 15 or whatever. They'll learn a lot. And we'll just have a great time. Okay? Liberty and Truth Conference. I want to mention a couple of quick things in passing. Ernie Zundel, the world's number one prisoner of conscience, has finally been released after 7 years confinement from a German prison. Oh, this man was an evil person. Let me tell you what he was convicted of. He was convicted of distributing a little booklet asking the question, did exactly 6 million die in the Holocaust? Now, that's something you can't say or write about or talk about or expose. Now, you may propose to me that there is a First Amendment to the Constitution which says that you and I have freedom of speech. But that's not true. Ernest Zundel was living with his wife Ingrid in the state of Georgia when American federal agents came to their home, and Ernie Zundel met him at the door, and he's a nice, pleasant man, and they put him in handcuffs and took him away because he had spoken out and said, you know, I think there might be some exaggerations in the Holocaust tales. And they actually sent him by way of Canada to go on trial for violating their law in Germany. And he was given 7 years. And when his lawyer, a woman lawyer, tried to defend him, the judge sentenced her to 4 or 5 years in prison. So he didn't have any attorney. Even the attorney was threatened with jail time and, in fact, was sent to prison simply for trying to defend Ernie Zundel in court, because she had to deny the Holocaust, so to speak. Now, Zundel's never denied a Holocaust. He just said, I don't think 6 million died. I think there's some lies that were told by the Jews to get, you know, more money and all that other stuff. But as I said, there is no free speech in Germany. It is a dictatorial government. You know, all of those American soldiers were lost fighting Hitler. For what? So that another totalitarian government approved by the United States could take over and start putting people like Ernest Zundel in prison. Well, he's been free now after 7 years. A man, a prisoner of conscience. He came out amazingly with a smile on his face. Refused to bend his knees. 7 years for what he said. Wow. Well, Ernest, you're very lucky. They put Jesus on the cross and tortured him and killed him for what he said. And now the Jews sent you to prison. They'll do it to Tex Morris. Folks, listen to me. The Jews will do it to you too. It's in their Talmud. It says, that's their holy book. It says the rabbis teach this. The best of the Gentiles kill. That's one of the secrets. The best of the Gentiles kill. They'd like to have killed Zundel. But the law only now says, if you don't say what the Jews want you to say, we'll send you to prison. Now, if I, Tex Morris, went to Germany, they'd arrest me. And someday they may come to my house, put handcuffs on me, take me away, spend $100,000 to take me in a big jet, fly me all the way to Germany or to Israel because of the things I'm telling you right now today. It's against the law in Germany and Israel simply to tell the truth against the law. Let's return to our regular program. Remember now, our phone number, 1-800-234-9673, or you can go online and register, powerofprophecy.com. Use your charge card for the $50. Now, you can come to the conference and get in, just pay right at the door, $50 a person. That'll give you admission to all of the talks all day long. We're going to have some door prizes, too. You might win something. You might win something worth more than $50. I don't know what the ladies have planned for door prizes. I'm leaving it up to them. But we're going to have door prizes. We're going to have a fun time. By the way, we're also going to have a question and answer time. That's right. I love to see people tap dancing. I'll even tap dance. Ask me hard questions about anything, and I'll answer them. And if you want to see a big man, a galoot tap dance, I might even do that for you. Okay. All at the Liberty Truth Conference, Airport Hilton Hotel, Austin, Texas, April the 10th, 2010. Call and ask for more details. We'll be glad to give them to you. The folks here are very friendly. They'll help you out. Now, let's talk about some secrets. We're still on these secrets. I was telling you about Lou Dobbs going on March the 10th with Bill O'Reilly on the O'Reilly Factor, Fox News. First of all, he and O'Reilly agreed that the right-wingers, that's you and me, are all wrong, and there's got to be amnesty. They didn't use the word amnesty. That's a no-no. They've got to use other terms now, big brother terms. The second thing that Lou Dobbs pimped for and Bill O'Reilly agreed with him on is the necessity for the national ID card. You know, the one I told you about in Project Lucid that was coming? Oh, yes. Well, Obama and Charles Schumer, Mr. Gay Man himself, talk about a gay guy. You ever heard Charles Schumer talk? Boy, that guy. I tell you, I really think he's Liberace's long-lost brother. But anyway, he's Dr. Feelgood. Charles Schumer, senator from the gay state of New York, with all apologies to those of you from New York who are not gay, has introduced this legislation on behalf of his gay pal Obama. That's right. There is a book out by a man named Larry Sinclair that exposes the fact that old Barack Obama is bisexual as a $3 bill, but George W. Bush was too. Ah, yes. Secrets galore. Remember Congressman Massa? Larry King asked him on the Larry King Show. He's the guy that resigned and said that Rahm Emanuel had confronted him in the House of Representatives shower at the gym, buck naked, and stuck his finger in his chest and threatened him because he wouldn't vote for the Obamacare bill. Can you imagine those two guys naked in the shower? Well, it turns out both of them are flaming queers. Rahm Emanuel, you know, White House Chief of Staff, used to be a ballerina. Ooh, a ballerina boy. Oh, yes. And Massa, he is gay as a $3 bill, and that's what he's being thrown out of the House of Representatives for, groping his male colleagues. He's only been in the House for 14 months, but he groped so many pages, I guess, and all the others, his associates. You know, one of them, he tousled their hair and invited him up to his room. Oh, man, this guy's a sicko. He's a pervert. And he met a fellow pervert, Rahm Emanuel, Rahm the Cruel, and they both did their little thing in the shower, arguing, you know, it gets so incredible, doesn't it? Oh, by the way, Bill O'Reilly had to pay a woman that worked there that he sexually harassed hundreds of thousands of dollars because he kept putting the sexual moves on her. She had to quit finally, and he said it wasn't true, but the tapes came out. She had him on tape, sexually propositioning her. The family man, Bill O'Reilly, sexual harasser. But he paid $100,000, got out of it. You say, Tex, where did you get all this information? Hey, folks, that's what I do. I'm a researcher. I'm an investigator. I tell the truth. Now, they were pimping on this program, Lou Dobbs and Bill O'Reilly, who claimed to be conservative, who claimed to be Tea Party type people. They were pimping for the national ID card. And Lou Dobbs said, you know, the one that's the one that does the DNA or the fingerprint, the one that has all the computer information on it. And O'Reilly goes, yeah. you know, the biometric when they're talking about. A national ID card. Folks, they were trying to do that with the driver's licenses, but not everybody drives. Not everybody has a driver's license. They need this national ID card issued to everybody. Now, Dobbs and O'Reilly said they've got to have it because of the illegal immigrant problem. See, folks, first, they get the problem. They make the problem by allowing 35 to 40 million or so illegal aliens to flood America from every country on earth. And then they say, ooh, we have this problem. What are we going to do about it? Well, first of all, we have to give them all citizenship, then free medical care, then free welfare, then free homes, then free Social Security, and on and on. Meanwhile, everybody will have to suffer because there might be one or two terrorists among the 40 million people that are illegal aliens. And, of course, then everybody will have to have a national ID card. And we'll have to have a counterterrorism center to operate. And we'll have to have offices across America to issue the cards. We'll have to have a bureaucracy. There'll be another 100,000 people working for the National ID Card Center. Oh, whoops. That's another secret. Did you know they already have built the National ID Card Center? Yeah. Yeah. They've already spent hundreds of millions of dollars and have already constructed a National ID Card Center. That's right. Even though the National ID card has not yet been approved by Congress and signed into law by President. And to make sure it gets approved, the Tea Party pimps, Lou Dobbs, and Bill O'Reilly, snakes in the grass, are there pushing it, promoting it on international television. Wow. By the way, O'Reilly said, well, you know, our border enforcement is doing a good job now. Did you get that? Our border enforcers are doing a good job. And I sit there, I looked over at one, and I started scratching my head. I said, say, huh? Say what? Did you hear Bill O'Reilly say, yes, we've got to have a national ID card so all of the illegal aliens and everybody can register and they can watch us and it'll have an ID card and they can follow us everywhere? Keep it on your possession. They'll be asking for it. You could be stopped on the street, sir, ma'am. Present your ID card or go to jail. Meanwhile, a couple of days ago, the national press reported that Adam Gadon, he scares me, just the name. He's the American Al-Qaeda. And he went on internet TV and scared us all again. He's threatening us with another 9/11, Adam Gadon. Now, folks, I've already exposed this. Fox News, CNN, CBS, ABC. At first, they said that Pakistan had captured him. The American Al-Qaeda, Adam Gadon, had been captured by the Pakistani military. But that turned out to be a myth, a hoax. Let me tell you why. I have already exposed this to you. Get this CD or audio tape of my special report about these hoaxers and deceivers that pretend like this, that are part of the FBI, CIA, Israeli Mossad. Adam Gadon, his real name is Izzy Perlman. He's Jewish. He's a Jew. And he pretends to be the American Al-Qaeda. And he puts on a turban and has long hair. And wears a robe like an Arab sheikh. And he comes on TV, on the internet, and says, kill Americans. I love the Arabs. I love Allah and Muhammad. Allah Akbar. He's a Jew pretending to be an Arab Muslim. And they're even calling him the American Al-Qaeda. And recently they're claiming that he went to Pakistan to take over for Osama bin Laden. They need another Osama bin Laden. He's been dead for too long. Now they've got the American Al-Qaeda, who is actually Izzy Perlman. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, we got so much more. Let's go right along. Senator Scott Brown. Tea Party people got him elected as senator from Massachusetts. Yes, the Tea Party independents swept him into office. He took Ted Kennedy's position. But whoa! Turns out he's another snake in the grass, another con artist and bum. First of all, Scott Brown, Senator Scott Brown, Mr. Handsome, who once posed naked for Playgirl magazine. By the way, There's a video on TV. Don't go watch it, please. Of his wife. He has a very beautiful wife. And there she is doing sexual tricks. She takes a tube of toothpaste, and while they're talking about hands doing certain things with certain body parts, she squeezes the toothpaste, and the white comes out of it. I think you know what I'm talking about. His wife did a sex porno video! And hadn't been very long either. Looks just like she does now. Meanwhile, Scott Brown has announced that he's going to Arizona. Now, what's a Massachusetts man going to Arizona for? He's going to campaign for John McCain. Because John McCain's in trouble. He's behind in the polls to a Tea Party candidate, J.D. Hayworth, former congressman. You see, the problem is Hayworth says we need to deport all the illegal immigrants. John McCain says, no, we need to give them a pathway to citizenship, amnesty. And what does Scott Brown say? I agree with John McCain. And what does Sarah Palin say? I agree with John McCain. She's down there campaigning too. The zombies of the Republican Party have taken over the Tea Party. And naturally they would support Bilderberger Perry and Council on Foreign Relations stooge and lackey John McCain. By the way, Scott was one of the few Republicans that voted for Obama's jobs bill, which actually appropriates $15 billion, but who gets it? Probably groups like Acorn. Liberal New World Order groups will get the $15 billion. Scott Brown voted for it. You say, but I thought he was Republican. Oh, yes. By the way, he says flat out, I'm for abortion. I'm for a woman's right to choose to murder. Of course, he didn't use the word murder, but that's what it is. Scott Brown, another snake in the grass, swept into office by the Tea Parties. Now, friends, if you're a member of a Tea Party, you've been had. They think you're gullible. They think you're a dupe. The politicos in Washington, D.C. and the Beltway are laughing off their back ends off at you. They're just laughing at you. You know what I'd do if I were you? A bunch of folks are going to have Tea Party conventions and meetings and group conferences, seminars and so forth in the next few months. Especially right before April 15. All the way through the summer, Tea Parties are going to meet. I suggest you go there and scream and holler and demonstrate and say no to Scott Brown. Get out of my sight, Sean Hannity. Shut up, Bill O'Reilly. You make me sick. I want to puke on you, Glenn Beck. Sarah Palin, you're an ugly, no good rat inside, no matter what your outer beauty is, because you're a liar. And I'm not going to let you dupe us anymore. Friends, leave the Tea Parties. Leave them. Start your own group. Give it another name. If you want to go to the Tea Party meetings, don't go inside. Go outside and demonstrate in the streets. You have a right as an American to demonstrate. The Constitution says we have a right to petition and to present grievances. That's what it says. You're a good American. You're a good Christian if you follow the Constitution. So you've got a right to petition and to ask for redress of grievances. You have a right to demonstrate. It's your constitutional right. Don't let anybody say, we're supposed to do what the people over us tell us to do. No, you're supposed to do what the Constitution says. It's your leader in America. All right. There's a group out there called the Southern Poverty Law Center. Infamous Jewish lobby. It was founded by a man named Morris Dees, who, according to court records, turns out to be a little bit of a bisexual and other things. All these people, I think most of them are homos. The Illuminati elite, they're all homos. Massa, Rahm Emanuel, Barack Obama, George W., Karl Rove. By the way, George W. Bush actually admitted that his top political advisor, Karl Rove, in the White House, was gay as a $3 bill. And even said, I have a nickname, a pet nickname for him. This was exposed on Fox. It wasn't exposed. They laughed about it. They asked Karl Rove about it, and he admitted that was George Bush's nickname for him. You know what the nickname was? Oh, my goodness. I'll spell it out. I don't even want to say it. T-U-R-D Blossom. T-U-R-D Blossom. I'm not going to tell you what it means, but I think you know. A horrible thing. Because Karl Rove, who was called the brain for George W. Bush, is a homosexual pervert. And George W. Bush called him that little nickname, having some fun. like Congressman Massa and Rahm Emanuel, fighting and sticking fingers in each other's chest in the House of Representatives shower at the gym. Mm-hmm. Having a little love spat is probably what they were doing, really. Oh, yeah. By the way, you can read about this Scott Brown thing on mywaydoc.com, article by Jonathan J. Cooper. The Associated Press, March the 5th, 2010. About Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown making his first campaign trip as senator by visiting Arizona to promote John McCain, the biggest liberal faker in America. Well, what more have we have in secrets today for you? I talked about Southern Poverty Law Center. Guess what they're saying now? They're saying that 9/11 truth people are potential terrorists. They put them on a list. You could be a terrorist if you believe in 9/11 truth. If you believe the, you don't believe in the government account, you could be a terrorist. You could be a KKK or a Nazi or a militia person. Ooh. Wow, wow. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center. These people are crazies. They really are. And yet, their warped views of the SPLC, their warped views get top play on Fox News, CNN, CBS, and other biased establishment media. Hey, here's something else that I've exposed that really makes me mad. Social Security. Everywhere you turn now, there's somebody. The establishment is making war against the elderly. Did you know Obama wants to take $800 billion out of Social Security and Medicare and give it for free medical care to illegal aliens? They're going to gut Social Security. This is their plan. I want to do a whole program later on that. They want to gut Social Security. Folks, it is an entitlement, and it's one you've earned. You paid into it. It's not welfare. Don't let them take it away from you. I don't care what age you are. You paid into it. And these jackals have spent all your money and given it to the banks and for wars and everything else. But you just tell them, you're not cutting my Social Security. Don't let them do it. I'm going to lead a national campaign against this. This is an outrage. Obama, Bush, all of them want to cut your Social Security and Medicare. O'Reilly wants to do it too. Beck wants to do it too. They say, we've got to do it. Our deficit is too big. We've got to raise taxes and cut Social Security and Medicare. No, no, no. How about cutting spending, but not Social Security? Because that's the people's money. Never, never, never cut Social Security. It's the people's money. You paid into it. They owe it to you. And if they don't want to give it to you, make them pay all the money back plus interest that you paid into it. I am outraged that they so despise and hate the elderly. They want to take your money and pump it into the New World Order plan for Obamacare and for other purposes. Don't let them cut Social Security and Medicare. Never. Not 1 cent. You've earned it. And they better pay you because you gave them the money. They empty the kitty and spend it on worthless federal projects and wars. But that's their problem. They can stop the wars. They can stop the stupid welfare spending. But they better not touch the people's money, Social Security and Medicare. It's not the government's money. It's the people's money. We didn't want to give it to the government in the first place, but they made us. And we did it. And they're not going to take it away from you and me. Am I mad? You better write. I'm righteously indignant. And if you agree with me, I'd like to hear from you. Text Mars, 1708 Patterson Road. Austin, Texas, 78733. Well, my friends, this has been Secrets. And until next time, may God richly bless you. And my prayer is that you tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.